Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, last week we talked about Jesus' circumcision and his naming when he was 8 days old. And we were reminded that Jesus had no need of circumcision for his own sake. He did it for our sake, for the fulfillment of righteousness. Today, we see Jesus undergoing another holy rite, baptism, that he himself did not need, but that he would remake for our sakes. As it says in Colossians chapter 2, the circumcision that God requires is not Old Testament circumcision, but circumcision of the heart, accomplished through baptism. In our gospel, we heard, then Jesus did come from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest upon him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, looking at the way the emphasis is in the Greek, it would actually be something like this. John tried to prevent Jesus from submitting to the baptism by saying, but I myself have need to be baptized by you. But Jesus said, to fulfill all righteousness, it is fitting for us to do so. So John baptizes Jesus solely because this is part of God's plan of salvation, to provide Jesus' righteousness to all people. And John recognizes that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus, God with us, who has come to save his people from their sins, did come to John to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. And all righteousness includes the entire law for all people, for you and for me. By his baptism, Jesus identified with all of humanity's sin and failure. And although he needed no repentance or cleansing from sin, he became our substitute. As our hymn of the day that we just sang declares, this man is Christ, our substitute. But I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I'm sure you all learned in Sunday school that Jesus was sinless and holy. 1 Peter chapter 1 describes Jesus as a lamb without blemish or defect. All his thoughts, words, and actions were pure all the time, perfectly in line with God's will, his law, and his righteousness. Even unbelievers in the world say how good Jesus was. But now, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you're ready for the secret truth. Even as the world praises the goodness of Jesus, they're blind to this truth. Let me tell you what Jesus was really guilty of. Jesus was guilty of disobeying his parents, of talking back. He was guilty of losing his temper and lashing out with his words. He was guilty of loving money, of envying what others had, of trusting in wealth and treasure for happiness. He was guilty of indecent thoughts and mean-spirited words and loveless actions. He was guilty of neglecting God's words and being slow to pray and lazy with God's truth. He was guilty of dishonoring God, of not giving him the highest reference and regard. And I could go on, but you see, I'm stating what should be familiar to all of us. Your sins and my sins is what I'm talking about. It's because your sins and mine are what Jesus carried, what he was guilty of, the sins that you and I did, not that he ever sinned or he ever did anything wrong. He didn't. But our sins were charged against him. And not just ours. Jesus was also guilty of eating the forbidden fruit. He was guilty of naked drunkenness. He was guilty of sleeping with Uriah's wife. He was guilty of betraying the Son of God himself. He was guilty of genocide and mass murder. He was guilty of the same sins that Hitler, Stalin, and Pol Pot and other criminals and tyrants. Every sin of every person was charged against Jesus Christ. And that's why he came to be baptized, to wash away the sins of the world, yours and mine included. So don't get me wrong. Jesus is holy. Jesus did not sin, not even once, but he was guilty of all the sins of the world. They were all charged against him. That's what the prophets declared. What the Lord has laid on him, the iniquity of us all, says Isaiah. That's what the apostles said. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, says St. Paul. And that's what we believe. Because God has revealed these secrets through his word, through the testimony of many witnesses, and through the Holy Spirit has convinced our hearts of its truth. All our sins were charged against Jesus. He carried our guilt so as to wash it away. He calls us his own children. He makes us an heir of everlasting life. Death has been drowned in the waters of baptism. Heavens have been opened. The Holy Spirit poured out on us. That's hope that we carry with us through even the darkest, loneliest times. For the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are with us. We have been baptized into his name. Christ's baptism is ours. Peter says, God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through the water. Baptism corresponds to this and now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from your body, but as an appeal to God for a clean conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is that mystery which is divine grace to sinners, wherein by a wonderful exchange our sins are no longer ours but Christ's. And the righteousness of Christ is not his, but ours. He has emptied himself of all his righteousness that he might clothe us with it and fill us with it. And he has taken our evils upon himself that he may carry them and wash them all away. These comprise what Martin Luther has called the great exchange. It's the very heart of the gospel. Christ took on himself the punishment for our sin, and in exchange, God credited to our account his perfect righteousness. The Apostle Paul puts it like this: for our sake, God made Christ to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God himself. There can be no salvation without this exchange. We need a perfect record to be reconciled to God, and because of sin, none of us has a perfect record. Christ, through word and baptism for the forgiveness of our sins, clothes us with his righteousness so that when God looks at us, he does not see us, but his beloved Son. We desperately need this exchange. Because there was a prior exchange, a tragic exchange that we made, that St. Paul describes as this: for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. You see, we, humanity, has refused to worship the gracious and glorious Creator, and instead bows down before creations of our own hands and minds. and says, you will be my God. And as a result, God's wrath is revealed against our ungodliness. And only the death of God's own Son, Jesus Christ, can satisfy God's just anger. In the gospel, God has made a new exchange and fitted it exactly to take the place of that tragic one that we had made. Let me tell you a little story. There was a family out vacationing by the lake one summer. The father was puttering around in the boathouse, and his two of his sons, a 12-year-old and a 3-year-old, were out on the dock, looking over the lake, and the 12-year-old became distracted. And the 3-year-old got it into his head that this was a perfect time, of course, to venture out to the shiny aluminum fishing boat that was moored to the dock. And so he puts one foot into the boat and the other still on the dock, and he loses his balance and he falls in the water. And the splash alerts his 12-year-old brother to what's happening, and he gives out a shout, and his dad comes running up the dock and dives into the water. And he plunges down to the bottom searching for his son. And he can't find him, and he comes to the surface and grabs more air, and in a panic heads back down. And he's feeling around in the murky, muddy water at the bottom. Nothing. And he starts coming up, and he bumps into his son, who's got his fingers clasped tightly around the post of the dock, 4 foot underwater. And the father pulls him away, breaking his grasp from the post, and pulls him to the surface. And as he breaks the water's surface, takes in a big gasp of life-giving air. And finally, when the adrenaline stopped surging and when they had caught their breaths, the father asked his son, what on earth were you doing, Billy, hanging on so tightly to that post below the water? And Billy's answer was the perfect one that only a toddler could give. I was waiting for you, Daddy. I was waiting for you. Our wait for our Heavenly Father is over. 2,000 years ago, the God of heaven and the universe left the glory and splendor of heaven and plunged into this dark and murky world on a rescue mission for us. A rescue mission for all of us who are drowning in our sins. A rescue mission for all of us who are left in the darkness. A rescue mission for all of us who are barely hanging on. This rescue is found in the ark of the church. It is given to us by God through His Word and through holy baptism. When we are baptized, we are joined to the death and resurrection of Jesus. From baptism flows out from the cross. Baptism flows out from the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, conferring the salvation that they achieved. God chose to come down from heaven in the flesh, in the body of Jesus Christ, to stand in the place of us. He dove into our dark and murky lives to pull us out. He reached out through the waters of baptism, through word and sacrament, to save us from that murky death of sin. And He's here for you. He's here for you now. Right here. Your wait is over. The exchange has been made. Now may the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.